good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're going to take you on a little adventure that's going to get your taste buds sizzling. We're off to Valencia.
With a C pronounced TH.
And the V is B, Valencia.
And we discovered they have a language there called Valenciana, which is a lot like Catalan, but most people speak
French
Spanish.
French-influenced, actually.
Compared to most cities in Spain, people do not speak English, but Anne was absolutely at her best. And in any case, we had the advantage that the government of the Valencia community, which were our hosts in their wonderful city, provided us with a guide on several days who spoke very fluent English and, of course, very fluent Spanish, and didn't have to do Valenciano, although they probably could have. We had the opportunity, of course, as usual, to do some wonderful dining. But before we get to that, we should remind you that this is Spain's third largest city, although it's considerably smaller than Barcelona. It's absolutely, totally charming and very, very modernized.
The architecture.
Architecture is, what should we call it, monumental.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's...
They've had a great foray through a native Valenciana architect.
Called Calatrava.
Calatrava, who has produced some, shall we say, startling, arresting contemporary architecture.
It goes back a long way, of course, but most significantly goes back to 1963, I think, when the enterprising government of Valencia decided that a 1957 flood that washed out most of the old city was something they didn't want to have repeated. So to stop it from repeating, they went about it in a rather unusual fashion of diverting the river. The river Turai, T-U-R-A-I, doesn't flow through the city of Valencia anymore. It flows out off the edge, which left the Valencian government with a riverbed.
A big, long riverbed
that goes along the edge of the old city, between the old city and the new modern center of the city. And it's rather remarkable to think of playing baseball on a riverbed or football on a riverbed, but they do that.
Rollerblading, running, bicycling.
And they also put wonderful parks. A fountain to play sort of music in the evening.
That was pretty, too.
So this is a great place. And not only that, but it seems that for at least 10 months out of the year, including the 8 days that we were there, the sun shines every day, and it's nice and warm. So, of course, Anne was absolutely in seventh heaven.
Right. And I love the vitality of the city.
Yes. And the most amazing thing for foodies in the whole city is the Mercado Central, a huge covered market, that's so well run and so beautifully clean, it seems like you could eat off the floor.
We
didn't do that, of course, but it would appear that you certainly could.
We've been to a lot of markets, but this one is really, I mean, as a Western market, it's really spectacular.
But as you know, of course, On the Menu travels on its stomach, like an army does.
But they have the restaurant scene there is fabulous.
I forget there was Napoleon or the Duke of Wellington who said an army marches on its stomach. Well, the On the Menu army...
I thought it was Julius Caesar.
certainly marches on its stomach.
I thought it was Caesar.
And what better place to begin our review of dining in the greater province of Valencia than a visit we made to the small town of Denia, a coastal town about 50 or 60 kilometers south of Barcelona, where we met... Quique da Costa, who was rated by most people as the most important modern chef in the whole of southern Spain. So, of course, you realize that we had to go there. We had a wonderful and fascinating meal.
Talk about the architecture. Oh, we did talk about that in the interview.
And an even more fascinating discussion.
But I didn't break my nose.
That's a story for another day. That's a story for the next interview. But we had a very thoughtful discussion with chef owner Quique da Costa after the wonderful lunch that we had. So let's go to the interview.
Hey, On the Menu is really in for... We're breaking news here. We're actually at this fabulous restaurant, which used to be called El Poblet, but it's not. This is the big news. It is now called, from the master chef owner, whose name is Quique da Costa, and the restaurant is now Restaurante Quique da Costa. And, we had a fabulous meal, and I want to say oh, hello to this legendary chef. You've been going at this for a while, but not that long. But you jumped from not wanting to even be a chef into being one of the most important, influential chefs on the planet. How did this happen?
Bueno, empecé hace 23 años en la cocina. Ya es un tiempecito. No es que haya aparecido hace dos días. No soy joven. Empecé con 14 años y, claro, voy a hacer 23 años. Ya llevo 23 años en la cocina. Si puedes traducir eso hasta el momento, si quieres.
Yeah.
No. Llevo 23 años. Empecé con 14.
Yeah. He started with 14 years old. No, that's sure. And now he has been working doing like a chef for 24 years.
Tengo 30 y...
He's 37 right now. So not that sure.
Y bueno, yo pienso que la evolución no ha sido muy radical, ha sido muy progresiva, puesto que también el restaurante tiene ya 31 años.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks the evolution of the restaurant and him hasn't been fast, just slowly after all those years.
Pero tal vez sí que es cierto que la repercusión mediática internacional de nuestra obra se ha venido repitiendo con más fuerza desde hace 12 años hacia acá.
Maybe he thinks that all the influence and the fame that he's got from this restaurant, it's only from the last 12 years.
I'm still not sure how somebody who had no interest in cooking or a restaurant went from a 14-year-old dishwasher to one of the stars of the Spanish culinary scene. Could he explain that?
Porque mi planteamiento inicial no era llegar ni alto ni bajo, simplemente ganarme la vida, ¿no?
Y he said that the first thought that he had, it wasn't not being big, or up
alto,
or down,
bajo,
just basically gain the life and working.
Este era mi planteamiento. Ya cuando yo entro la primera vez en un restaurante, entro a fregar porque tengo 14 años, no puedo estar delante de ningún cliente que no estaba permitido.
The first time he's going to a restaurant was 14 years old and he started to work cleaning dishes because he had no the preparation for being in front of any client. And
y después me doy cuenta que el restaurante como modelo de negocio para ganarse la vida, pues que me gusta.
And later he discovered that the restaurant for a place where to live on, to make a career or working on, he really likes.
Después es cuando me viene paso de tener un interés por ganarme la vida a cuando decido de que una manera casi innata, no lo decido, llega a apasionarme tanto que mucho más que una manera de ganarme la vida, ¿no? Mi vida, básicamente.
Later, he will be from just a simple job where to get money from to be his life.
Y bueno, y si esto que yo hago de alguna manera, pues tiene interés y es influencia de alguna manera a otros grandes cocineros y a la opinión, pues muy halagado estoy, pero tampoco es un objetivo, ¿no?
And he thinks that if whatever he's doing right now, it's influenced it any other chef, it's not...
¿Influencias?
Ya que no has influenciado, que no...
Que sí ha influenciado a cocineros o a medios, a la crítica gastronómica mundial, o pues que no es una búsqueda, simplemente una consecuencia.
Yeah, he had influenced it so much the media and also any other chef. It's not something that he had been looking for. Something that just happened.
Es una consecuencia del trabajo, es una
It's
consecuencia
a consequence
del...
of working every day.
Y de creer también en este proyecto.
And they believe every day in this project.
You give out little written phrases at each table expressing your philosophy, which is very complicated, your philosophy of cooking. I'm not sure I understand your thoughts on these written pages. Do you have anything else to tell us?
A ver, en los papeles no cuento mi filosofía, ¿no? Porque yo creo que mi filosofía... se reduce no se escribe, ¿no? Se cuentan los platos.
He said probably in the paper you can understand because he doesn't write his philosophy 100%. His philosophy is on the dishes.
Está en el plato. En el papel lo que hay son leyendas, son pistas.
In the paper where you can get some clues.
Son ideas, reflexiones.
Some ideas and reflections.
Could I ask him... We had this wonderful tasting menu. Could you just explain a couple of dishes? Here is the menu. They were very beautiful and very dramatic. how about telling us about the haze?
A ver, primero, el menú que han elegido es el menú de nuevas tradiciones, que es el menú de los platos clásicos.
The menu, first, the menu that you choose is the menu of the classic dishes.
Right.
O sea, no es lo último que estoy haciendo, sino es un recopilatorio de algo de lo más importante de mis 23 años de cocina.
It's not something that he's doing now, it's probably a recopilatory of the most important thing he have done in his 23 years
yeah,
of
but
career.
Some of them overlap. They said, they told us, that some of them are this year, it says 2009, like the oyster, Iberian oyster. Yeah, how about the another 2009, the senia rice, the riso con negro trufa.
Yeah, pero tiene seguro en 2009, ¿no? Como este
sí,
que
sí,
acaba de
claro,
señalar.
Sí, claro que sí. Luego también hay algún plato del año porque hay platos que, o sea, hay clientes que vienen a comer un menú tradicional. Es la primera visita que van a hacer y la única visita que van a hacer a lo mejor en mucho tiempo a este restaurante y también que darle algo de lo contemporáneo, aunque sea un menú de históricos, ¿no?
Yeah. He said that even though it's a historical menu, there are so many clients who are coming just one for having the menu. So he have the traditional, but something obviously from this year just for trying because probably they are not coming back anymore.
En cuanto al plato que me comentaba, la bruma.
Related to the haze, the plate that you were asking him before.
El planteamiento para que la gente que nos está oyendo y leyendo a la vez no nos entienda, lo que quiero plasmar en un plato y lo que plasmo en un plato es una sensación que es un estado de la naturaleza que es la bruma, la niebla, la bruma.
Basically he said that for this dish that you asking before, the haze, basically what he wants to focus in this place is a representation of the nature, his representation of the nature, the haze, nothing else.
Que ese estado que nos da directamente es primer punto o el primer sensación que te da es humedad.
And the first sensation you're gonna have is humidity.
La humedad que crea la propia bruma por las mañanas o por la noche cuando viene del mar y se posa, por ejemplo, en el Mongó.
The humidity that creates this haze when it's coming from the sea. For example, that one that you can feel on the Mongó.
Okay. Y por las mañanas cuando te levantas, pues esa sensación de tierra húmeda, de hierbas aromáticas que and desprende automáticamente el amanecer, ¿no?
And also when you wake up in the morning, this
a los árboles que hay en el Mongó. Y por eso todo eso se representa de alguna manera en el plato.
Yeah, this smell and this color that comes from the countryside, like for example the trees, the mountains, and he wants to reflect all this in the dish.
Por eso hay setas crudas que dan ese sabor a humedad, piñones crudos que dan ese sabor a humedad.
That's why you have mushroom and so many things for the forecast.
When we were planning to come here, people said to us, "You are the most important chef in southern Spain." How do you react to that?
Yo con naturalidad, no, porque primero con mucho respeto, porque hay muchísimos otros cocineros, no solamente en el sur, en el norte,
first,
en toda España, ¿no?
Okay, first naturally, and with so much respect, because there are so many good colleagues, any other chef, very good ones, all over, in North Spain, here, and also in the south.
We're always very interested because the community of chefs is such an international community anymore, and there's a big congress of food taking place in a few days in Alicante. But perhaps Kike could tell us about some of the chefs in Spain and around the world that he especially thinks are his friends that he really likes to work with.
Con trabajar.
Mm-hmm.
En serio con todos.
Seriously, we would like to work seriously with everybody.
En broma.
In jokes.
Y un poco en serio también, con ninguno.
Maybe seriously with no one.
Prefiero estar de vacaciones.
He rather prefer to be on holidays.
Que no tengo nunca.
That he's never had, unfortunately.
Hace 20 años que no descanso ningún día.
But seriously, if he had to choose three or four people that he would really like to work with, that perhaps he's never worked with before. Now we know that you and Chef Raúl Alessandre at Casento have worked together many times.
Tampoco ningún gran restaurante, ningún gran
con chef, con
no, tampoco.
Chef. No, he said that he never worked with this chef, this big chef before.
Raúl Alexander from
Raúl
Alexander.
No, Alexander. Raúl Alexander no ha trabajado. Hemos, somos amigos.
He never worked, just they are friends.
Oh, they are friends. Okay.
Hemos hecho un libro en el que hemos compartido recetas.
They have made a book together.
Okay. Sí, pero no ha trabajado físicamente ni él conmigo ni yo.
But
no
trabajado
en ningún restaurante para pena mía. Okay. Me hubiera gustado.
Not physically working together.
Okay. Now we did hear from someone, Santo, I think our translator, that one of the things that transformed Kike's career was that he read a book.
Fueron varios libros en definitiva los que me dieron una perspectiva, pero hubo dos centralmente que fueron.
There were so many books that he read and giving the perspective of Ina Cooker, but there were not just one, two.
Que fue un los dos libros que publicó.
Two books that published.
Michel Gerard.
Okay.
That one.
Y también uno que leí.
This is Michel Brass, right?
No, Michel Gerard.
Michel Gerard.
No Michel Brass. Michel Gerard. Antes que Michel Brass.
Before Michel Brass, Michel okay. Gerard.
Michel Gerard estaba antes que Michel Brass. Este fue el libro.
Michel Gerard
vino después. Y también de un libro que leí de George Blanc.
And one book he read from George Blanc.
George Blanc es un francés muy bueno. Del French movimiento de la Nouvelle Cuisine, que son los padres de
todo esto.
It was
about the movement of the Nouvelle Cuisine.
Spanish chefs have just pushed absolutely to the edge of the envelope in everything, and it's reverberated around the world.
¿Unas vacaciones?
A holidays, maybe.
No. What?
A holidays, maybe.
Holidays. That's good.
He said he didn't have holidays in the last 23 years.
Oh, holidays, not holidays.
Holidays, yeah.
Holidays, I thought he said.
No, a ver, a mí, holidays. ¿Qué me va a pasar? Pues, oye, yo pertenezco a este movimiento de cocineros españoles, que empezó hace 30 años.
He belongs to this movement of Spanish chef.
Que yo llevo 23 en la cocina, que pertenezco a la tercera generación.
He belongs to the third generation.
Que es la generación de Joan Roca.
It is the third generation. Yeah.
It's the generation of Jan.
De Joan Roca, de Sergi Arola, de Andoni Luis Aduriz, de todos estos grandes chefs. Pertenezco a esta generación.
Well, I understand third generation.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the third generation then do?
Hay ya una cuarta generación de cocineros muy importantes también en este país.
There is a very important
que está liderada por Marcos Morán, de Casa Gerardo de Prendes, por Juan Fravaliente, por Dani García, de Calima, en Marbella. Hay una cuarta generación.
There is already one fourth generation, a very important Spanish.
He's telling me people I don't know. I really loved to know these people.
Y si yo era joven, todavía los hay más
jóvenes.
Dice
que ella...
Claro que sí, que debe conocer. Dani García, Pedro Morán, Juan Fravaliente... Marcos Morán.
Marco Morán.
De Casa Gerardo.
And what are they doing?
Pues hacen cocina de vanguardia con... En estos casos, casi todos con raíces muy marcadas en la tierra en la que están. Unos andaluz, otros asturianos, uh-huh. Uno es malagueño en Valencia.
They said they made a vanguardist cooking, but with according to this vanguardist food, but with a very strong influence from the land they are living in. For example, there is one on the north.
De Asturias, from Asturias. Marco Morán es asturiano,
Marco
Dani
Moranga,
García es andaluz,
Dani García from Andalucía, from the
por
south.
Por ejemplo, aquí está Ricard Camarera, que es valenciano.
And here Ricard Camarera, which is from Valencia.
Hay muchos
cocineros. What are they doing? Is what I'm asking.
Cocinar, hacer cocina de vanguardia yeah. Con raíces con, muy marcadas en la región en la que están. Pues andan sobre los pasos que hemos andado también nosotros, que estamos haciendo nosotros, que evolucionando a partir de cosas que están viendo de otros grandes chefs. Y que están intentando crear su propio estilo.
He said basically they make this vanguardist food, but with a very strong local influence, what they are living in. And studying the third generation, people like him, they are making an evolution.
Yo creo que esto es lo que realmente hace grande la cocina española. Que no es una generación importante, sino que por décadas, por edades, en décadas, estamos hablando de la de...
He thinks this is the very important thing in the Spanish kitchen.
Que por décadas.
There are different generations for that each decade, every 10 years, they're making.
Por ejemplo, están la generación, la década de Juan María Arzak.
He said one of those decades is the
con 60 años.
Generation of José María.
Juan María Arzak.
Juan María Arzak, he's 60 years old.
Está la del señor Ferran Adrián, he's con 50.
Another one with Ferran Adrián from 50.
Está la mía, con la de Joan y demás, que tenemos entre 40 y 50, 30 y tantos 50.
Later he's from people between 30 and
40. Y está esta otra generación, que no tienen 30 años, otros son 30 años hasta 35 años, de 25 a 35 años, de gente que ya está marcando una nueva
and the fourth
generación.
Generation between 25 and 35 that they are
y esto, really este conjunto, esta unión de tantos cocineros buenos, importantes, diferentes, andando en el mismo momento, hace que la cocina española sea realmente buena y potente, no solamente porque haya uno, dos, tres o 20 cocineros.
And he said that all these different generations working together at the same time, that's made the Spanish cooking very important.
I think that what you've contributed, Chef, is really very wonderful and important, and you already recognize there's another generation coming up that we all have to learn about. I'm looking forward to that because it's always exciting. Thank you so much for talking to us. Your philosophy is so deep. Sometimes we can't always grasp it. But the food is great. Thank you.
Yo tengo que hablar de... Nosotros, los cocineros que estamos ahora arriba, por suerte, lo estamos porque ha habido otros que nos han enseñado.
He said that the people... He had to say that the people who are now on the top like him, they had to be pleased for any other who were before and teach them.
Además, ellos nos han permitido estar donde estamos.
And also those people allow us to stay where we are right now.
Nos han ayudado.
And they help us.
Yeah. Now, this is the difference, if I might say something. This is why the Spanish chefs are so important. They love and encourage all the younger cooks. The French will hate me for saying that, but the French like to push everybody down.
No sé, en Francia, ¿no? Francia, la verdad que lleva mucho más años que los españoles. En el máximo nivel.
But he doesn't know so much about France, but just he knows that they are much more on the top than in Spain because they have been for much more time over there.
Nosotros después de 300 años, como llevan ellos, a lo mejor estamos peor.
He said that maybe us after 300 years, maybe we'll be worse than them.
De todas formas, hay que decir que nosotros, si tenemos entre algún tipo de problema personal, algún rifirrafe, por decirlo de alguna manera, algún tal, que lo podemos tener.
He said that maybe if among all of them they have some differences.
Porque esto no es el, esto no es Alicia en el País de las Maravillas.
This is not Alice in Wonderland.
Lo dejamos al apartado.
We leave it apart.
Por el beneficio de todos.
For the whole welfare of the whole community.
Entendemos que ha de ser así, porque esto es un proyecto global, no es un proyecto ni de uno, ni de dos, ni de tres.
We understand this thing must be like this, because this is a global project. This is not a project of one or two or three people. This is a project of all of us.
Porque lo más importante de esto no somos nosotros, sino la cocina.
The most important thing of this is not us, it's the kitchen.
Nosotros simplemente somos cocineros que cocinamos en un momento de la historia. Pero nosotros nos iremos y la cocina seguirá.
They say that they are people, chefs, that they are cooking in a specific moment in history, but we will be gone and the cook and the food and the gastronomy will keep going.
Yeah. Y me gustaría, evidentemente, que si
está dejar... bueno. That's my Spanish contribution, chef.
Dice que esa es su contribución española, que eso está bien.
I mean, thank you to Santos who translated, and okay. Chef, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful dinner.
Gracias por esta maravillosa comida.
Gracias. And we'll talk to you again next year.
Hablamos contigo el próximo año.
Cuando quieran, esta es vuestra casa.
You're welcome, this is your house.
Well, one of the most startling aspects of the meal was our translator, Santos, was really trained as an art historian. He was our guide, essentially, rather than just our translator. And it never occurred to me until I watched as the first couple of dishes came out that he had never been exposed to molecular gastronomy. So with all these mad effects of his eating through the dry ice and so forth, it really rounded out the experience.
Yeah, he said he was going to have fun explaining the whole meal to his wife when he got home.
He had never seen anything like it.
Anyway,
well, now it's time.
Regardless of all that,
it's time now to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Again, this is the time of the program where we always say, keep in touch through every social media that you can think of, and everything's on our website so that you can stay in touch with us. We have had fun in Valencia, Spain, and every single outing we had seemed to have its own special story. And Peter, you're going to tell the coincidence of our sommelier at Casento, huh?
I am indeed. A fascinating lady who spoke very good English, and it turned out that she we discovered that she learned her English in no less a town than what we laughingly used to call Huddersfield, pronounced properly as Huddersfield, because that was where the young lady went to learn her English, and it's, of course, where Peter learned his first version of English, too.
And since he lived Peter, when he heard this, he almost fell off the chair.
That was a little bit surprising. It just goes to show Piccolo Mondo and all that stuff applies. But Chef Raoul Alexander at Casento served us an absolutely wonderful meal. It's
invidious. And a beautiful place.
It's invidious to say that it's probably the best meal that we had in Valencia, because we had some other great ones as well. But this one was right at the top of the charts.
Everybody else we've ever met in Valencia will be angry, but this is the very first perfect meal I've had here. And por favor, chef, besame. Hello, we're at Casento in Valencia, and we're had completed an absolutely magnificent meal, and we're going to be interviewing the chef Raoul Alexandre. Is that correctly pronounced? And Amanda Navarro is going to be translating when necessary. Where are we exactly? Where is this restaurant? ¿Dónde está esto?
Bueno, el restaurante está en una zona portuaria de Valencia que se llama El Grao. Y bueno, es una zona muy, muy antigua de aquí de Valencia. Y sobre todo es una zona donde estamos muy cerquita del mar.
We are on a place in Valencia that's called El Grao, that is next to the harbor. It's a very old block, and we are very, very close to the sea. We have it maybe 200 meters away.
It's really a very unusual place for there to be a fine restaurant, Amanda. Wouldn't you agree? If you're headed here, don't be surprised if you come down a one-way street and you would think there could not possibly be a fine restaurant along this street. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
But now the history of the restaurant. Your parents, particularly your mother, was the one who designed the food and the menu at this restaurant, Raoul. How long ago was that?
Bueno, ellos empezaron hace 25, 28 años y empezó siendo, no tiene nada que ver con esto que hay ahora, ¿no? Empezó siendo un bar muy, muy humilde donde se daba de comer a la gente que trabajaba. Entonces, casualidades de la vida, pues la gente, supongo que como todo el mundo, va evolucionando hasta el día de hoy. Pero mi madre siempre ha sido una gran cocinera de guisos populares.
They started around 25 or 28 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the restaurant then had nothing to do at how it is now. It started as a bar for the workers of the harbor. But he guesses that, as everybody, they developed, and it became how it is now.
Well, I mean, how it is now. His mother must have been a very good cook.
Yes, his mother. he mentioned that as well.
Yes.
His mother is a very good cook of traditional Valencian dishes.
Right. And, okay, so we have Raoul now. I'm drinking tea out of a very fancy cup. It's a Riedel cup.
It's a Riedel cup.
It's absolutely gorgeous. The whole place, every single touch of everything is first class, contemporary. Quality is the issue. How did you, Raoul, go from a traditional cook to somebody who is at the cutting edge of modern Spanish cuisine?
Bueno, yo creo que es un poco las, al final es las vueltas que da la vida, ¿no? Yo, si a mí me dijeran en los últimos 10 años lo que me iba a pasar, pues seguramente hubiera dicho que la persona que me lo dijera estaba loco, ¿no? Entonces, nunca hace uno las cosas predestinadamente, hay cosas que vienen así, ¿no? Entonces, lo que creo que es bonito es que nosotros somos gente que nos hemos hecho a sí mismos, y entonces es la el propio público te va haciendo subir.
He says that as you can see now, he would have never believed 10 years ago that this was going to be like this. Yes, he says that our own customers are the ones that give us
the accolades. They're the ones
that push us up and let us keep going on.
The food is just absolutely wonderful. I was wondering if we could just go through, of course, as usual, Ann and Peter ventured into the tasting menu, And I was wondering if Chef could walk us through some of what we ate, starting with the cod donut. Chef, remember what we ate?
En principio lo que hacemos es, tenemos una degustación un poco para la gente que no conoce la casa, y entonces para conocer un poquito el estilo de cocina que hacemos. Como verás, hay platos más tradicionales, como puede ser el buñuelo de bacalao, que es de la época más de mi madre. Yo considero que me siento orgulloso de ellos, porque yo creo que no hay que renegar de uno de donde es. Entonces, a partir de ahí hay platos que pueden ser un poco más de cocina moderna, como el arroz con col y sepia, que sí que es una cocina más vanguardista, pero donde intentamos hacer una de cal y una de arena. O sea, es una cocina evidentemente con mucho sabor, donde hay productos que diríamos que es de cocina local, como puede ser el buñuelo de bacalao, como puede ser las gambas, y luego hacemos algún plato más, como más elaborado, como puede ser el arroz con col y sepia, o como puede ser el flan este de foie. Entonces yo pienso que al final uno cuando viene aquí al final tiene que tener la sensación de que ha estado muy cerca del mar y de donde ha comido un producto excepcional.
Well, Raúl says that the tasting menu is the best way to know the kitchen of Casento or his kitchen.
Okay, and Casento is really named after his father, who was Vincento.
Yes.
Which is a Valenciana way
of saying. Cento is the Valencian name for Vicente.
Okay.
So on the menu, he tried to mix both the traditional Valencian food his mother used to do and modern things. For instance, the cod donut is based on the cod donuts his mother used to do. And for instance, the rice with cuttlefish and cauliflower.
That's really good.
Yes, it's based on the traditional Valencian dish of rice, but he gives it the modern touch.
But I'm gonna tell us about the rice, because everybody writes about your rice. ¿Cómo hacer rizo?
Bueno, este tipo de arroz que han comido, que es el arroz con col y sepia, es una versión un poco del arroz tradicional que se come aquí. Entonces, ¿cómo conseguimos hacer este arroz? Lo que nos interesaba es que para un menú tan largo, si sacamos el arroz tradicional, la gente ya no puede más. Entonces, hemos hecho lo que es cocer el arroz durante 2 o 3 horas, dejarlo secar un par de días, hacer un polvo de arroz, freírlo. Y lo que sí que tiene el gusto tradicional es el caldo. Entonces, a partir de ahí, lo que nos interesa es que la gente, cuando cierra los ojos, se acuerda del sabor del arroz tradicional, pero el arroz tiene una textura diferente, que es con lo que nosotros jugamos un poco.
In this case, what Raúl tried to do is to change the type of rice, because on a long menu, as it is the tasting menu, if you put a traditional dish rice, it's going to be too heavy to get till the end of the menu. So he tried to change it a little bit, and then he thought of making the rice like puffed rice. And they boil the rice, they let it dry for a couple of days, then they make a dust with it, they fried it, and what really has the traditional flavor of the dish is the stock. The stock we pour on the plate.
Right.
So when the customer closes their eyes and tastes the dish, it immediately gets the idea of the traditional rice with cuttlefish and cauliflower.
Yeah, but now this is not puffed rice. This is very crunchy and nutty, and it's an extraordinary experience.
This is actually a little bit like a dish at El Bulli, which comes dry, the paella comes dry, and then you pour a liquid. You worked in that kitchen. Perhaps there were some ideas that helped you to develop your style.
No. Sí, bueno, nosotros trabajamos allí en el año 1997. La idea era, yo creo que al fin y al cabo nosotros bebemos de todo, ¿no? Bebemos de lo que vemos, bebemos de los viajes que hacemos, bebemos de dónde hemos trabajado. Entonces, indudablemente que, claro, uno va cogiendo un poquito de cada cosa y al final uno crea su propio estilo, ¿no? Pero sí que es verdad que lo que nos interesa es no copiar el plato. lo que nos interesa es copiar el concepto, ¿no?, o la técnica. Por ejemplo, si yo considero que un cocinero X que está en Inglaterra tiene una idea muy buena sobre el arroz y esto es tierra de arroz, y normalmente lo que no voy a hacer es copiar es el plato, ¿no? Pero pienso que lo que es bueno ahora de la cocina es que la gente enseñe las técnicas que hace para que cada uno las pueda aplicar a su sistema, ¿no?
Well, I want to hear your explanation. That one. That's complicated.
Yeah, well, it is. What he says is that a big chef becomes a big chef by learning in every place he's worked,
uh-huh,
and in every trouble he's made. He has to learn a little bit of everybody's. And what he does is to get the technique and to get the concept of the different restaurants he's been. But what he tries is not to copy the dish itself. Just get.
Este es el apellido.
What he gets is just the technique, and you get all the techniques and you get all the concepts of the places you've been. But then you get your own style.
Oh yeah,
he says that it is important now to show the rest of the people your techniques to make everybody's cooking bigger.
A lot of experimental cooking, to me, wants you to be surprised that something you're eating is not what you expect it to be. In this case, it's what you expect it to be, but it tastes better. Yeah, can you tell him that?
Bueno, nosotros sobre todo en la cocina que hacemos, lo que sí puedo decir con certeza es que la cocina tiene sabor. Es una cocina que cada plato es identificable. No son platos muy enmascarados. Entonces, si te comes una gamba, la gamba sabe a lo que es. Entonces, nosotros hay productos que yo siempre digo una cosa: cuando un producto al natural está bueno, no lo toques, porque si no mejoras lo que hay, déjalo. Entonces, hay productos que le sacamos más partido porque se pueden trabajar, pero hay productos que pensamos, como la gamba, que como están realmente tan mágicos como están, sería una estupidez el tocarlos porque les quitamos la magia que ya tienen por ellos mismos.
He says that his kitchen is based on the flavor of the products.
Oh yes,
and
like that red shrimp, fabulous.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That when you have a very good product, it's a pity to treat it too much, because you're gonna mask the
right
flavor of the product itself. It's what he tries to base his kitchen. We have very good fish. We have very good seafood. We have very good prawns. Then let's keep it. Let's keep the flavor of the prawn itself. Ah. Just don't put anything else on it that could mask the flavor of the
right
of the shrimp.
Now, we didn't get a tour of the kitchen. Does he have? I mean, like, I was wondering about this really meltingly tender veal cheek. Did he do that sous vide? Does he have a circulator?
Bueno, en las carnes, pero se refiere a las carnes.
Sí, a la carrillera.
A la carrillera. En el resto del mundo no sé cómo lo harán, pero en España siempre ha habido la costumbre, antiguamente, cuando no habían estos aparatos que hay ahora, de las carnes o de los guisos que eran de largas cocciones, como 24 o 36 horas, la gente ponía en la carne harina y la freía con vino tinto. Entonces, con lo cual, cuando la carne llevaba guisada tanto tiempo, tenía un gusto como ácido. Nosotros lo que hacemos es, con los guisos largos, primero guisarlos con agua hasta que están blandos. Entonces, a una temperatura, en vez de hervir a 100 grados, hervimos a 90, para que la carne no se deshaga, pero hervimos con agua. Entonces, cuando ya está hervida con agua, lo que hacemos es un guiso corto, para que la carne chupe, pero que la carne, el sabor sea, o sea, que no chupe durante 36 horas de un guiso, porque si no al final queda demasiado sabroso. Aquí queda tierna, pero tierna porque está cocida con agua a 90 grados y luego le hacemos un guiso corto.
In the case of the veal jowls, what he says is that the traditional dish that it was made in Spain, they used to fry the jowls or the cheeks with sunflower and then cook them in red wine. but for a long time, maybe 24, 36 hours. But the thing is that in that way, the jowl and the stock became very acid. And what he does is boil the cheek for a long time, but instead of with the stock or with wine, just with water. With water for a long time, and then when it's the meat is tender already, they made like a short stew with the rest of the ingredients. So the cheek gets the flavor of the rest of the ingredients, but it's not cooked for a long time with them. So they preserve the aroma of the rest of the thing.
Listeners, let's put it this way. This restaurant is dedicated to what it is you all want. Absolutely wonderful food, delicious from end to end, innovative enough to interest you, but comfortable enough because it's traditional to also say, this is something that I've seen before, and now I'm just enjoying it in a different kind of way. We can't thank you enough for having a wonderful experience. Listeners, if you come to Valencia and you don't make your first reservation at Casenta, you are missing something very important.
And
thank you so much. Amanda, you did a fabulous translation, having learned the Yorkshire language like I did, but in a slightly different way. Perhaps we could ask Sheffy if he has a last thought that he would like our listeners around the world to hear.
Simplemente digo que estoy halagado de todos los comentarios que he recibido y que bueno, me ha puesto un poco colorado. Y nada, que a partir de ahí me gustaría que toda la gente que viniera a este restaurante fuera tan encantadora como las dos personas que han venido, que ha sido un verdadero placer.
He says that you made him get blush, yes. and he hopes that everybody that comes to this restaurant could be so pleasant as you are.
Now, here's the last thing I just realized that you need to understand, listeners. This restaurant opens for lunch at 2 o'clock, and we have been having a little fun with an interview, so it's 5:30, but you can expect your lunch will end around 4:30 or 5 o'clock. And in the evening, Amanda, what time does the restaurant open then?
At 9 p.m.
So if you're night owls, this is a place to come at 9 o'clock. If you're lunch owls, come at 2 o'clock and spend almost the rest of the day. Amanda and Chef Raul, thank you so much for joining us on the menu.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Oh, boy. It's delicious even remembering that meal. And now I guess it's time to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. We're now going to introduce you to a restaurant that you're going to be hearing quite a lot about. Arup is the name of the restaurant, and we hit it on its 15th day. I might add, by the way, that it was one of our ventures on the Spanish schedule because we finished dinner at 12:30 at night. I guess it's in the morning.
We also hit it in more than one way.
And we
So watch your step if they haven't changed the entrance yet, because if you go straight ahead into the restaurant, you'll do exactly what Anne did, and you might not break your nose, you might not break your glasses, but you'll certainly be in for a shock as you walk into the glass window looking into what it turned out is actually the smoking section of the restaurant. Restaurant ARC, standing for Arup Richard Ricard Camarana, is a successor, but in fact a joint project of husband and wife, Ricardo and his wife, Marie Carmen, I think.
Carmen, yeah.
I've been calling it correctly, because they have a restaurant in Gandia, just down the coast, not too far from Denia, as we mentioned earlier on, where we were at Quique da Costa's place. But this is an exciting new venture, and the Valencianas had certainly found it.
This is the place to be seen, yeah. Everybody was so smart.
So, of course, we were seen, and even Anne could still see, and had a remarkable dining experience. And we had a chance, before we sat down to dinner, to have a chat with Chef Ricard and one of the waiters, who was able to translate very ably in English. I think he'd spent some time waiting tables in my native land, and that helped him with his English, and he did a fine job. And we had a really delightful evening out, and we were not certainly not the last to leave at 12:30. And it's a place that, as Anne said, you're going to hear a lot about it, and you're going to want to go there.
AROP has been open only 15 days, and we're excited to be here because it's probably one of the sleekest, poshest new restaurants in Valencia. And we're going to be talking to Ricard Camarena, who is the chef here, a chef owner, I believe. And we're going to have translation as well by Arulien Ferre. And welcome, both of you. And I'm excited about this place. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Muchas gracias. La verdad es que estamos súper contentos de poder trabajar en un sitio de estas características.
Y característica,
sí. Es, la verdad es que es un placer tener una sala.
You said that work in Valencia, that we are very happy to be here.
Yeah. And now, you had a restaurant before, Ricard, and it was in Gandia, and that was a much smaller market. So you went to go for the bigger market and a much posher place.
Sí, creemos que en Gandia habíamos tocado ya. Habíamos cumplido todas nuestras expectativas y estábamos buscando una plaza más importante por tener mayor repercusión y mayor probabilidad de conectar con la gente. Es mucho más fácil en una población de 1 million de habitantes.
He said that the place that we were before, that he did all the things that he think that he should have done there, and he was
ready to
researching something like more with more repercussion. And something bigger to all the for all the people to.
Well, first of all, explain this. I'm looking at this decor, which is arresting, and you know about this too, Aurelien. This is Moorish.
About
the ancient archaeological site you're in.
Yeah.
Could you talk about it?
Yeah. So they start to make the restaurant, and they found it a few times before that they start to make the construction of it, and they find like the Arabic wall. About
yeah,
the,
it's Moorish.
Yes, yeah. Moorish.
Yeah.
About the cycle, 11th cycle. And then they stopped the construction to call some people to research about that. And then when they was researching about that, they start another time to make the construction of the restaurants.
And there's a big archaeological thing over here. What is that?
Yeah, it's the continuation of the wall.
Yeah. Well, listeners, you need to come here just to see it. This ancient stone is contrasted with stark black glass everywhere and polished metal. It's very sleek and very gorgeous.
It's really fascinating to be in a 21st century Spanish restaurant in an 11th century space. It's really a remarkable thing. Does Ricardo have a reaction? What that means to his cooking, or is it just where we have?
De alguna manera nos hace sentir muy pequeños a nosotros, porque nos contemplan 10 siglos de historia y incluso donde estamos sentados ahora había un pequeño yacimiento romano que se remontaba a un siglo antes de Cristo aquí mismo. Entonces, nos gusta mucho porque al final es la simbiosis entre algo muy, muy antiguo y algo muy moderno. Y al final es lo que buscamos nosotros en nuestra propia cocina. Trasladar sabores antiguos, pero con una arquitectura moderna.
He said that we feel like smaller when we see that is that so much time here, and that now we are the mix between what's new and what's old. And then it's what like a kind of represent what is food, because it's something like with the old origin from the village and everything, and then to with a new style of kitchen as well, something.
Yeah. Now, tell me about the kitchen. I read that you did, Ricard, many traditional cocina tradicional, but also more creativo. See. He does more advanced experiments.
That's what he say, yeah, with like the, yeah. To stay always with the tradition of the things.
Yeah, but then to move on.
But to put the touch of modernity.
Now, could he tell us what are their specialties? What are their signature dishes here? I mean, what should people expect when they come here?
Creo que la gente espera a que nosotros juguemos de alguna manera con su memoria gustativa, que profundicemos en los recuerdos que tienen de sabores olvidados, sabores que ya no están tan presentes en la cocina actual, y que se los traslademos de alguna manera con una estética muy actual, con unas cocciones muy actuales, pero siempre recordando los sabores de antaño.
So that's too, we are playing like with the memories of the people that we've mixed like old fashioned food with a new style,
yeah,
for them to still remember of the old fashioned cuisine.
Okay, now this has to be a challenge. I think it's such a grand setting. Who will come here? Locals, turista, I mean, who will come to this restaurant?
De momento,
todo el mundo.
Todo el mundo, muchos clientes antiguos de nuestro restaurante, porque aunque estábamos en Gandía, un gran público de nuestra clientela era de Valencia, y gente curiosa, en definitiva, curiosa por ver un sitio nuevo, por ver un cocinero que se ha trasladado a la capital, y por ver un local que está causando ya sensación entre la gente.
Y said that basically they are like most of the guests that are coming here, some are people from the restaurant of Gandia,
right, and before, Gandhi,
and people who come here from curiosity as well.
Ah, who are his heroes that in Spanish cuisine or in any other cuisine?
No tengo héroes.
No,
he said that he don't have anyone.
Ah, but in the world.
No admiro a nadie. En definitiva, admiro a la gente que trabaja conmigo y que todos los días me aguanta y me ayuda a seguir creciendo.
Is it more than everything else? Admire the people who are working with him and the people who are every day, yeah, working with him.
They are his inspiration.
Exactly.
Yeah. How was he trained?
Cocinando muchas horas. Nunca he trabajado en otro restaurante. Siempre he intentado no parecerme a nadie, sino a mí mismo. Y por eso siempre he trabajado para mí. Nunca he trabajado con otros cocineros para intentar crear un estilo de cocina propio.
He said that he always was cooking himself and for himself to make his proper style and to find his way in this world and in the kitchen world. I mean, to make his style.
Well, like, where, if he were not eating his own food, would he want to go to eat?
A muchos restaurantes de España que me encantan, algunos en Barcelona, otros en Madrid.
Barcelona, oh.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants of Madrid or Barcelona,
well,
you're saying.
I mean, which one?
El Bohío.
El Bohío.
Oh.
En Toledo. Alquimia en Barcelona.
Ah, sí.
El Celler de Can Roca en Girona.
Sí, sí, sí.
Mugarit.
We've eaten at all those places. But do you travel?
Mucho.
And where do you like to travel?
Donde haya buenos restaurantes.
Where there is a lot of good restaurants.
Like what? City?
París o Londres.
Paris, okay, or London.
In Paris, which restaurants does he like? Pierre Garnier.
No.
No.
That's low simple.
Chef Ricard, we want to get deeper into your creative mind. Could you please explain to us the process of coming up with the dishes, the details of some of your dishes, and why?
Muchas veces, la mayor parte de las veces, viene por una asociación de ideas, por una asociación de sabores, más que nada por un recuerdo de un sabor y que luego yo asocio con otros nuevos.
A lot of time is coming from the association of product and ideas.
Sabores que había probado flavor. Y que luego los asocio con otros nuevos.
And flavor, that is...
Sabor, it's flavor.
Yeah. with another one to...
Bueno, podemos hablar de una pescadilla que van a probar hoy, que...
So we're going to speak about a fish that you will try tonight.
Bueno.
Es un pescado que viene de la tradición valenciana de tener los pescados en sal durante todo el invierno.
It's come from a Valencian tradition, which is keeping the fish in salt for a long time.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Y a partir de ese concepto, nosotros revisamos el concepto de la salazón. La salazón, explícales que es el procedimiento de poner los pescados en sal, orearlos y dejarlos mucho tiempo. Eso se llama salazón.
From the process of keeping a fish a long time in salt.
Ajá.
Yeah, to keep it like to get
preserve it. Yeah. Right.
Nosotros acortamos mucho el tiempo y solamente está 10 minutos cubierto de sal.
So they're cutting the time of keeping the fish in salt to 10 minutes. But the process of the other is the same but shorter.
But he bakes it in salt.
Pregunta si lo está como cocinando o poniendo al horno.
No, simplemente estamos deshidratando un poco el pescado.
Se están
extrayendo agua.
They are taking off all the water from the fish.
Oh, he has equipment.
Yeah.
Special equipment for this.
Estamos intentando comprimir la estructura del pescado que sea más tersa, más firme, ¿entiendes?
Yeah. It's to get the meat of the fish like firmer, like.
Okay, but what does he use to do that?
¿Qué utilizas para hacer eso?
Pescadilla.
No, pero ¿qué instrumento? ¿Al horno?
No. Nada.
Natural.
Nothing.
Natural.
Natural.
Después sí que lo que hacemos es también es un pescado con poco sabor porque es la pescadilla es merluza pequeñita como.
The fish is like a hake fish, so it's like a white meat fish, which you don't get.
It's not very flavorful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't have any flavor.
Con el bland. Con la pérdida de agua concentra más el sabor.
With the loss of water, the fish is getting like more flavor.
Ah, interesting.
Y luego lo que hacemos es una cocción a 58 grados durante 7 minutos.
And after they cook it, like
7 minutos 58
7 minutes at 58 degrees. Degrees for 7 minutes.
58 centigrade.
Yes.
Centigrade.
Dile que luego la otra parte, ahí sí que utilizamos algún instrumento especial con toda la cabeza, la piel, las espinas. Lo hacemos un caldo con una máquina especial ahí sí.
And afterwards with the rest of the fish they're making like a special sauce.
What with the skin and the head?
The skin, the head, the bones.
Dile que con una máquina que puede cocer al vacío y a baja presión.
With a machine we can cook without air or it's called a vacuum. Yeah, with a
high pressure.
With a high pressure.
Okay. So, but he works with the knowledge of kitchen science.
Trabajas con conocimiento de científicos.
Sí. Muchas veces nos apoyamos en ellos.
Another dish?
Another platos.
Right. Sí, tienes un otro plato ahora que explicar.
Una sopa. Otro de los platos que van a probar, por ejemplo, el arroz de caracoles.
Caracoles, ah, good.
Yeah.
Snails.
Play that you're going to try tonight, which is the snail rice without any snail.
Oh, wow.
Which is a speciality.
Dile que partimos también de un plato tradicional que son los caracoles en salsa, pero que yo particularmente aborrezco los caracoles.
So it's from a traditional recipe which is the snail in sauce and then.
And don't like.
You don't like the snail.
But, pero me gusta mucho.
The flavor of the snail, but you don't like the snail.
Because he doesn't like it because of the texture.
For the texture, the inside of the snail.
Well, now his buddy Heston Blumenthal makes snail porridge.
Sí, with Joselito Jean.
Entiende inglés.
Yeah. It's green.
Peter just said that it's a very strong green, the snail porridge. Okay, now I think that Aurelien, if you can explain, there are two restaurants. Explain what they are, where they are, and how people get to come here to eat.
And the people who are going there, no?
Yeah, you can say that. You just do it in English.
So the first one, which is the Arbor Gandia, is in Gandia, in like 30. It's como 30 kilometers.
30.
60.
It's like 60 kilometers from Valencia, and the other one, which is that one, which is more modern, more new fashion, which is the Arab Valencia.
Now the other one is called something different?
No, exactly the same, but only the name of the city.
Okay, could you give us the website?
So the website is the www.arop.com.
Com.
Yeah.
Well, let's go eat because I think this sounds very interesting. You've been very patient.
Thank you very much.
And Chef has been very patient.
No, muchas gracias. Pacientes ustedes.
Can't wait. Muchas gracias in advance.
Enjoy your meal.
Well, that's just the first installment on our adventures in Spain. And boy, did we have a good time, didn't we, Rabbit?
We did. And so let's just recap those restaurants for you again. Restaurant Quique de Costa.
Which used to be called
El Poblet.
Poblet.
And then we had Raul Alexandra at Casento. And then finally,
Ricard
Camarana at Arup. You'll want to go to all of them, I'm sure, and you'll have a wonderful time just like we did. And with any kind of luck, we'll be back in Valencia again next week.
Yes.
When we'll see you again, same time, same place.
Bye-bye.